This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and once again, I am doing one of my podcasts on the road as I have been, once again, moving around and basically on the move. So I've had to jump on the mic and do the podcast outside of my studio. But it's been about two match days, one for the Champions League and one for La Liga since we last spoke. The last game that we had was in La Liga before the international break, which we are currently on. Before the international break, we had the game against Osasuna, which was a rout of 4-0 in the Santiago Bernabeu. And then obviously that incredible game in Naples against the current Italian champions, Napoli. A team that is close to my heart. It's always tough for me to watch Napoli face off against Real Madrid because when it comes to Serie A, I am a huge Napoli fan. So, watching them go. But, when Napoli scores, I always realize that I am, as much as I love Napoli, I am a Real Madrid fan because when they score, it hurts me. It hurts me as a Madridista when they score. So I know that my passion lies with Real Madrid. So with that said, obviously that game in the Champions League, we came back and won it, or we won it with a scoreline of 3-2. It was a barn burner of a game, 4 or 5 goals in total. An absolute banger from Fede Valverde, who has been, I wouldn't say he's been underrated. He's been essentially, a lot of people just don't give him the credit where the credit is due. He's a passionate player, and he's always takes those chances to shoot from outside the box with what is a cannon of a leg. And in this case, it hits the post, but hits the back of Alex Meret's head, who is the goalkeeper of Napoli, and it goes in for a spectacular 3-2, essentially winning the game 3-2. So that was the Napoli game, but we'll go into a little bit more of that. But with that said, one of the things I wanted to say is please subscribe to the YouTube channel. If I'm not doing a YouTube video, I will be uploading the YouTube audios, so you will still be able to listen to them on YouTube. They'll just have the audio visualizer. So you can still, there'll still be something on the screen, but it won't be me in my studio. And then in addition to that, as I'm trying to grow the YouTube channel, so please subscribe to that. But in addition as well, we are, of course, on all audio, basically podcasting networks. So check us out on Apple Podcasts, check us out on Google Podcasts. I don't know what you're listening on right now. So if you are listening, please subscribe. But if you are a listener and not a watcher on YouTube, please go over there and just hit a subscribe to help us keep going and help us growing. As I said, I'm trying to stay as active as possible when I can. Although in this case, when I'm on the move and I've had a lot of things to do with work, I will have a little bit of delay, but I'm taking the chance right now, since we are currently on an international break, to, take a chance to do sort of a recap podcast and just kind of talk about what is in store for Real Madrid. Obviously, the two games that passed, they have passed, essentially, and I'm pretty sure you've heard all sorts of stories about it. But at this point, it's kind of funny to me because when I'm designing stuff, a lot of times you guys know that I do the Instagram designs. Like, really, it's kind of like a one-man show at this point. I have a couple guys that help me out here and there with some writing. But then I also have, I also have some people that used to help me with the editing. And then also used to help me with the graphic design. But now it's pretty much all myself, so I'm doing it. And then I'm trying to get more writers to maybe help out write some stuff for the Y Nada Más website, which the Y Nada Más website is at Y Nada Más or www.ynadamás.net. So if you are interested in writing for us, please hit me up there on our email at info@ynadamás.net. In addition, you know, if you're somebody that's interested in maybe chatting about, you know, you're not afraid to be on the mic and you're interested on and you have a good mic and you're interested in, you know, jumping on the podcast occasionally and, you know, doing some back and forth with myself. Well, then check us out. info@ynadamás.net. Hit me up and let me know if you're interested and we'll figure out something. Because like I said, it's always in a way a busy schedule with me. But so let's move back. So when I'm designing stuff for the, you know, for the Instagram, which is at YNM Podcast. So I'm doing a lot of times stuff, either the lineups, you know, I'm putting up the score line. I'm putting up, you know, just images that I like when I get a chance. And so lately, of course, ever since the beginning of this season, really, it has been the Jude Bellingham show. I mean, every single image that, you know, really has come out, with I think one was the only exception to the rule was when Tchouaméni scored his first goal for Real Madrid. You know, I put Tchouaméni on one of the posters that I created. But really, it has been the Jude Bellingham show. And the Jude Bellingham show has essentially been, you know, Jude Bellingham's, at this point, really well-recognized celebration. And that's kind of been, he's been the star of the show. Now, obviously, pundits in England are going to really, you know, sell up Jude Bellingham and talk night and day about Jude Bellingham because he's one of their own. And he's also doing things, he's doing well with the English national team as well. But really, in this case, as much as you'd like to say, is it an English bias? There is no English bias in this point. Jude Bellingham is, in fact, a spectacular player and is, at this point, really, he's kind of beyond words what he's brought to England, because he is absolutely fantastic. It's insane to see what he's brought to the table, you know, because of the fact that, let's be real, I mean, he's had, I think, in La Liga, I was looking at right now, he's had 8 goals in 8 games so far in La Liga. That is basically a perfect 100 out of 100. I mean, basically a perfect 100%, you know, if we look at it proportion-wise, because he didn't score in every single game, because he didn't play in every single game. I think there was one game, I believe it was against Las Palmas, that he did not play. And then in the Champions League, we've had 2 matches against Union Berlin and against Napoli, and he has 2 out of 2. So he has been a perfect 2 out of 2 in these, you know, in he's been a perfect 2 out of 2 in the Champions League so far. So we're looking at a perfect 10 out of 10 in his games so far. Now, if we were to look at assists, he's got 10 goals with 3 assists, so essentially 13 goal contributions. So out of the 13 goal contributions, he's had 13 goal contributions in 10 games. So that is a spectacular output, no matter whatever way you put it. Now, is it going to be sustainable? You know, a lot of people like to talk about that. Is it going to be sustainable? I do believe in the current way that Real Madrid is playing, this diamond formation is obviously suiting Jude Bellingham. The fact that we don't have an out-and-out number 9 means that Real Madrid has moved away from playing its traditional 4-3-3, and we are, in fact, playing, you know, a 4-4-2 diamond. Now, while that has affected the likes of, let's say, Rodrigo, or Rodrigo, if you want to use the Portuguese pronunciation, while it's affected Rodrigo somewhat and Vinicius somewhat, although it's, you know, really made me happy to see Vinicius scoring in his last 2 games. So he scored against Napoli and then he also scored against Osasuna. You know, to see him getting back after his slight knock, his slight little, you know, slight injury that he picked up in the Celta Vigo game, it's really good to see him back. And I think this combination of Jude Bellingham and Vinicius is going to be something that is really going to be something that we can, as we say in the United States, something to write home about, something to really talk about. Vinicius and, you know, sorry, Vinicius and Jude Bellingham is going to be something. I really, like I said, I'm a little bit saddened by the fact that so many Madridistas, or a lot of pundits, are sort of, you know, looking at Rodrigo as kind of underperforming, given that, you know, he is currently playing in a spot that is not, you know, he's playing in a position that he's not used to, and he will take some time to get used to. The same way with Vini, has taken time to get used to. It's not the same Vini that we saw last season. It's not the same Rodrigo that we saw last season. You know, so I think these two guys are, you know, they're complete professionals, especially Rodrigo. I think he's a complete professional. And after the debacle that was the Atletico Madrid game, which we all saw really was a failure from the get-go in the way Ancelotti set up the team with, you know, Bellingham playing as a striker, with Luka Modric coming into the game, Luka Modric and Kroos being on the field, you know, so there was like a lot of trying to position players, with Fran Garcia really kind of showcasing that he's really still very green, you know, still very green, meaning he still has a lot to learn, as good as I feel like Fran Garcia can become. You know, the absence, of course, of Carvajal, who is having a spectacular season. That Atletico Madrid game really showed us a lot of, you know, what is kind of like, what could potentially happen when things aren't set up correctly and you're missing some important players. We were also missing Vinicius in that game. And so a lot of ways, Bellingham playing as a striker, which I've already talked about this on another podcast, so I'm not going to go too much further into it. It isolated Bellingham. You know, it was easy for them to take Bellingham out of the game. Modric and Kroos obviously being on the field is going to slow the game down a bit in a game where you're going to have a very physical Atletico Madrid. It was not a good game defensively for Real Madrid and for David Alaba. So in the end, we ended up in a situation where that's why we lost that game. But ever since then, we've definitely learned from that. And I think we're getting back into the run of things. I mean, we beat an Osasuna, which is, has been a team that's been, you know, they've been perpetual, let's say, mid-table for quite some time, but Osasuna has been one of the, I would say, you know, they made it to the final of the Copa del Rey last season. They have been a team that has been performing pretty well under Arrasate, I believe is his name, who is the coach. They've been, you know, performing pretty well under him. And I also think, you know, that beating Napoli, which is a team that has been struggling a bit under Rudy Garcia, ever since Spalletti left, obviously losing the likes of Kim in their defense, and you know Kvaratskhelia and of course Osimhen, with the sort of this drama that was happening there, we were seeing a difference of performance, you know. So really, you know, I think while we were seeing a difference in performance from Napoli, Napoli is still a team that right now is, you know, still completely possible for them to defend their title, although they're going up against, you know, a very stacked AC Milan that's doing pretty well, but a very stacked and high-performing Inter Milan. And there's other teams, obviously, in Serie A, which I think Serie A is pretty exciting right now because a lot of the teams are on an even keel. Right now, there are a lot of teams that are kind of challenging. You have Juve, you have Inter, you have AC Milan, you have Napoli. You have other teams that can make surprises, Sassuolo, Lazio. I think, you know, Lecce was up there at some point. But anyway, I mean, not to say that they're going to be staying there. But it's always an interesting, right now is a great time to watch Serie A if you're not watching Serie A. Anyway, with that said, I just think right now it's kind of, we took Atletico Madrid. I think Ancelotti learned from what he needed to learn, and we are back in our winning ways. So what do we have coming up next? Is we have Sevilla coming up next, which Sevilla has been, of course, struggling. If I'm going to look here at, you know, how Sevilla has been doing in recent times, I can look on the La Liga stats, and I think their last game, you know, it sucks because at the same time, you know, we have Sergio Ramos there, and as much as I dislike Sevilla, Sergio Ramos being on the team gives me, you know, a little bit of you know, I don't know, nostalgia. I just want to see him do well. But at the same time, I don't want Sevilla to do well as a whole because I'm not particularly a fan of theirs. But Sevilla has been going through some rough times. I mean, well, not rough times, but they're not doing too well. You know, let's say in the Champions League, they tied 1-1 against Lens. Then they went on and tied a 0-0 or drew 0-0 with Sevilla, with Osasuna. They completely dismantled and dominated an Almeria, which is in obviously in the relegation zone in La Liga, and they should beat them. They dismantled Almeria 5-1. They actually played pretty well against Barcelona, a lackluster Barcelona. They played bad against Barcelona. They played against a bad Barcelona, almost pulled out a draw, and then in the end ended up losing the game with, unfortunately, a Sergio Ramos own goal. And then since then, they played in the Champions League again. They drew 2-2 versus PSV Eindhoven. And then most recently, they drew against Rayo Vallecano 2-2 as well in the Sanchez-Pizjuan. So, with that said, the next time that they're going to face us, the next time Real Madrid, the next time Sevilla faces, their next match is against Real Madrid, and it's once again in the Sanchez-Pizjuan, which the Sanchez-Pizjuan is a place where it is very difficult to win. They are not an easy team to beat when they are at home. It is a very passionate fan base that Sevilla has. So we'll see what happens with that. I really think that we can pull out a win. I think if our players stay, stay strong, if our players stay fit, which so far it seems like they will. Bellingham is doing pretty well. Doesn't seem like he has not picked up anything, so obviously he's staying strong. We've also seen Vinicius, Rodrigo. Everyone seems like they're ready to go. Modric has obviously been talking about his playing time and not being too happy with his playing time, which I can understand. I mean, the guy's 38 years old, but he can still deliver on so many levels. But, we'll have to see how it's going to play out this season, because I really think at this point, as much as I always say it hurts me, it kills me, because I love Luka Modric, but he is 38 years old. And although he can come off the bench and make some great things, I think he has to come to the understanding that he's not going to be a starter. I think Kroos, I do understand Kroos when he has said in different publications, he has said, hey, why are you guys putting me in the same boat as Luka Modric? Luka Modric is 38. I'm 33. I still got a lot of gas left in my tank, which I think he does. He's actually shown to be a very positive player this season so far. And I think I'll repeat it over and over again. I like the idea that if we are going to have a 4-4-2 diamond, we need Bellingham at the tip of that diamond, and we need somebody like, we need Tchouaméni as that CDM, but we also need, whether it's Valverde or Camavinga to offer that driving force forward, you do need sort of a Kroos to be the experience in that midfield, to slow the game down, to basically, pick out the passes, to be that creative outlet, in addition to Bellingham, who has resulted in being another creative outlet. But those guys, Camavinga, I love him as a left back, although I wouldn't, want him to consistently play left back because he's been solid as a left back, but you know, we know he doesn't necessarily feel that great playing in that position. So that, you know, I think where we're going to see is where we're going to, it's going to be interesting to see how things play out is going to be what happens in that left back position, because it doesn't seem that Ancelotti believes too much in Fran. Doesn't seem like Ancelotti believes too much in Ferland Mendy. And obviously he believes in Camavinga, but Camavinga, you know, is far more of an asset, I feel, in the midfield. Although he's done a spectacular job when he's played, you know, when he's played in the left back position. We'll have to see. But then we also have to remember, I don't know, I haven't heard anything, but I don't know if David Alaba will be back as a center back versus Sevilla, because I know he picked up a knock. We have to see if he's going to be available. I don't know if he's going to be available. And then Nacho, who went in completely insane and decided to do the most preposterous, you know, foul during, you know, in the game versus Girona. We're going to have to see how that is going to play out. You know, we're going to obviously lost him. We're going to, you know, I think he's got two more game suspension, essentially. Tchouaméni was surprisingly put on the field as a center back when we played Osasuna. He did a good job there. Is that something that they're going to do? Are they going to use him and then have a midfield, you know, use him as a center back, put Camavinga and Valverde in the midfield and have Kroos as a defensive midfielder, or Camavinga as a defensive midfielder and Kroos as a center midfielder, you know, as a more advanced midfielder? You know, we'll have to see how that's going to be played out. But I really feel like this game against Sevilla is accessible, but at the same time, I hate playing these teams that, because Sevilla is one of those teams that they are a lot better on paper than they have been performing in reality. So they are a lot, they have talented players. And I think they just got a new coach. I think it's, I believe it's Diego Alonso. So they do have a new coach. Usually you do see a little bit of an uptick in performance when a team has a brand new coach. So we will see how they're going to perform against Diego Alonso, against Sevilla, sort of a maybe a little bit feeling reinvigorated Sevilla when they play Diego Alonso, when they play Real Madrid. That's something that always bothers me. It's still bothering me how we concede goals pretty much very easily from set pieces. Obviously, we didn't have that against Osasuna, but, you know, it was a problem against Napoli. We almost conceded twice against Girona. It just, the post saved us on a couple of occasions. So every time there is a set piece, that is my worry. And against a team like Sevilla that has good free kick takers and the likes of Rakitic or Lucas Ocampo, and then you have a very, very solid aerial threat in the likes of El Nesyri or Rafa Mir. And then in addition, listen, I would, you know, keep an eye out for Luca Bacchio. Luca Bacchio is a very, very, very solid player that I've seen so far in the games I've seen for Sevilla. He is a very interesting player, and I've seen him really, really add a lot to the Sevilla midfield. To the Sevilla attack. He's been dangerous. He's been interesting. He's been, he's been a dynamic player that can really add a lot. So, you know, we have to take into account that there are those players on Sevilla's team, the likes of Lucas Ocampos, the likes of Rakitic, the likes of En-Nesyri, the likes of Jesus Navas, you know, the likes of Luca Bacchio. There is a solid team there. Obviously, I do feel, I forgot his name. The one thing that I feel that they have against them right now is their back line. Their defense isn't as good. Their defense is not as good. I think his name is Bade. I haven't seen him. Gudelich can sometimes be a little erratic. And their new keeper is definitely not Yassine Bono. He's definitely a long way from being Bono. And so that is going to be interesting to see if we can test him. If we can test him and put some shots on him, it's going to be very difficult for him, I think, to keep out to keep out players in is going to be keep out players in Sevilla. Keep goals out of the Sevilla box, because he looks very nervy still. He's definitely not a Bono. So I think we can maximize that defensive fragility, but at the same time, they can maximize the defensive fragility in us. But we have a better attack than them. We have a much better midfield than them. So I really feel like this is an opportunity to establish ourselves and continue to fight in La Liga. You know, the guys that are following us, Atletico has been pretty solid as of late, but they do struggle occasionally, and they are right behind us. But I do feel like this is a game that will continue to keep us in first place. I hope we don't drop any points. I hope we don't drop, you know, drop any points, whether obviously a loss, but even a draw would suck. So, you know, definitely it's something that we wouldn't want to see happening, you know, in La Liga. You know, Real Madrid currently obviously leading La Liga with 24 points. Girona in second place with 22 points. Barcelona with 21 points. And Atletico Madrid at 19 points. But remember, they have that game in hand because their game versus Sevilla. Sevilla also has a game in hand. That game against Sevilla earlier in the season got postponed. So Atletico Madrid is one of those teams that we have to be you know, also still weary about. They're inconsistent at times and look kind of shaky, and they've had to come back in the end and tie the games or win games. You know, as long as we can keep winning, you know, the game that it's our title to lose if we continue playing the way we're playing. But it's still very early in the season, only 9 matches played. Where I was a little bit more, I think it was a podcast, two podcasts back, which I said that I was happy, but I was still nervous. I was nervous. I feel that nervousness has subsided, because I feel like this whole idea of Jude Bellingham's form not being sustainable. I don't think Jude Bellingham is going to score in every single game, obviously. And I think he's going to, you know, his output isn't always going to be scoring goals. But we have Vinicius. We have Rodrigo, and I think he's going to come back. I really trust Joselu, and I like him a lot. He's been putting in goals when we need him to. He's been doing that. And so with the likes of Valverde, how he's playing, with the likes of Tchouaméni, how he's playing, Kroos, how he's playing, Camavinga, how he's playing, these guys in our midfield, which is an embarrassment of riches, as we've already said, you know, with the creativity that Jude Bellingham has and Kroos have, you know, so if Jude Bellingham isn't the one scoring, I believe that we can still have a Vinicius scoring or a Joselu scoring. You know, it's still the same problem. We want that, you know, world-class number 9. You know, it's going to be difficult, you know, when we play against the tougher teams, you know, going back to the Atletico Madrids. But if we are at, you know, if, I think if we would have gone against that Atletico Madrid with a full force team, and then also not a makeshift lineup, which was a complete mistake by Ancelotti, this team can go very far. The problem is, how deep are we and how far can we go when we're dragged into the deeper stages, let's say, of the Champions League? You know, how far can we go? But it's interesting because, you know, honestly, looking at the rest of the teams in Europe, you know, Manchester City, sure, they're a scary team, but they haven't been performing as of late. Haaland hasn't been the unstoppable beast in front of goal as of late, as he usually is. Manchester City, obviously losing guys like De Bruyne to injury, and, you know, Rodrigo was out, I believe, on suspension recently. When they lose those guys, they are susceptible. We saw that if you guys watch the Premier League, you know, they did not look the same when they played against Arsenal. Arsenal's, you know, looking solid, but at the same time, they're very young as well. They're a young team as well. Also a little bit shaky. Liverpool has definitely picked up this season. PSG looks like a debacle, and they're definitely not as good this season to be afraid of. Bayern Munich is still sort of chugging along. So I really feel like this is a wide open Champions League field where no one has really run away with it. Because if you look at every single league, no one is really running away with it. As a Serie A fan, I would say be careful with some of these teams in Serie A. Be careful with the likes of Inter Milan. Be careful with the likes of AC Milan. Be careful with the likes of, let's say, Napoli if they, you know, start, you know, getting together and really, you know, vibing a little bit better as a team. I don't know how long Rudy Garcia is going to last. Doesn't seem like a lot of people like him. I don't personally think he's doing a good job. It was a big loss to lose Spalletti, to the Italian national team. Obviously, he's doing well with the Italian national team. They just beat Malta recently. Not that Malta is a big team at all, but we want to see how they keep chugging along. Their biggest threat is going to be this, I think, 2 days from now from when I'm recording this, or I don't know, or a day from now when I'm recording this. Italy is going to face England in what is a replay or essentially a rematch from that Euro final from a couple years ago. So that'll be interesting to see kind of where Italy is at. And I hope they're doing well because I'm a big Italy fan. But yeah, so that was my quick, hopefully quick, recap of kind of what's going on, taking the pulse of the moment, just checking in and talking about some football for a little bit and see where we are with Real Madrid. But I really do feel Real Madrid is in the right spot. I feel we're in a good place. And, you know, it's like I said, we're still only 9 games into the season. There's still a lot that can be played. Hopefully our guys stay fit. You know, I think it's pretty soon that we're going to hopefully see Arda Güler coming back into the game. Let's see how it goes. I mean, I really hope he does because, you know, I've been wanting to see this kid. Obviously, this kid isn't going to be like a, you know, I don't think he's going to be a bona fide starter from the get-go. But obviously, he's somebody who's, you know, a lot of us are excited to see how he's going to play. I think this is going to be an interesting season. Continue to see great football from the likes of the incredible Jude Bellingham, or as I like to call him, Rude Jude, or the boy from Birmingham, or whatever you want to call him, Hey Jude, and sing the song from the Beatles. But, you know, Bellingham has definitely created an incredible vibe in this club. And with the likes of Camavinga and Rodrigo and Vinicius, and just the vibe around this club, the chemistry that we have in this club currently, and, you know, my boy, my figure, my coach, Ancelotti, which I am an Ancelotti fan, I believe we can do amazing things because our players, want to do amazing things with Carlo Ancelotti because they actually like playing for this guy. So don't talk to me about tactics because he's obviously one of the most winning coaches in the history of the game to tell me that, you know, he doesn't have tactics. Maybe his tactics are not up to what you want to see, but he's definitely has our dressing room and our team in the right place. I believe mentally, I believe physically they're there. And I believe, you know, he can take us to another Champions League. I think this is a close field of teams this season, performance-wise, and we can get something out of it. So with that said, guys, please remember to follow us on YouTube. The YouTube channel is, of course, E Nada Más Podcast. We are also available on X, formerly known as Twitter, at E Nada Más Podcast. We are also available on Facebook, at E Nada Más Podcast. And then when it comes to Instagram, we always throw up a lot of graphics, you know, support me there because, you know, graphics-wise, I'm super interested in posting things and seeing how you guys feel about that. We are at YNM Podcast. And of course, the YouTube channel, please subscribe, guys. It'll help us out a lot. And in addition to that, also, please check us out wherever podcasts are found, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, whether that is on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, those are our big ones. iHeartRadio, that is where you can find us. And I'm pretty sure we're in a bunch of different ones. I think we're in Castos, Pocket Casts, all these other ones. If you have any questions, hit me up via DMs on Instagram on YNM Podcast, or at our email at info@inadamaspodcast, or of course via X, or what is formerly known as Twitter. Thank you guys once again for listening. I will be back in another week with another podcast once we start back in league action, which will start next week with Sevilla. I'll be back for a podcast after that game, and I hope to talk to you all again soon. And as always, a la Madrid.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.